Hi, and welcome to Cloud Cover. I'm Nick Harris, and today I'm joined by our newest team member. Introduce yourself, Matt.
Hello, I'm Matt Veloso. I just joined the team, very excited. I used to work in consulting services, DB, and a few other places, so yeah, very happy.
And a person that needs no introduction, but you may introduce yourself if you want.
Buongiorno, everybody. My name is Vittorio Bertozzi, and I look after developer experience in the Windows Azure Active Directory team. Thank you for having me, Nick.
That's excellent. It's always a pleasure. Always good fun. Let's start with some brief news.
All right.
As you can see, it's the 12th of March at the moment. So this may be published in a couple of weeks from when we're recording, but still some very exciting news always occurring on the Azure, on Windows Azure in general. So let's try and get through it quick so we can jump to your main segment today. What would the main segment be? So for those that want to sort of skip past the news.
I'm very excited to finally have a chance to show the collaboration that we are doing with the ASP.NET team, which is largely a redesign of a top layer of our programming model for claims-based identity. And this redesign carries on all these really good, really powerful capabilities in a form that is apt for modern development. So many scenarios that before were really hard to achieve, like mixing and matching UX and API, or ASP.NET authentication with organizational authentication, or like doing a high density servers in which you don't have IIS, but you just want to authenticate and serve pages as is. All these scenarios are now not only possible, but also significantly easier.
So I can do it.
You are always very good. Okay. Come on, don't get the self-effing. But the point is, now you can do it without having a tool.
Okay.
Like before, you had to use a tool for generating a config. And instead of now, the code is so straightforward that you can literally just type it yourself.
Excellent. Okay. Well, sounds good. So if you want to see that, fast forward a couple of minutes. Else, watch the news. So first up here, we're on Scott Goo's blog. So we've got a number of things released. This was back on the 20th of Feb. So we've got Express Route here, so we've enabled that dedicated private high-throughput network connectivity with on-prem. And we've also announced a partnership with Level 3, which is a well-known partner for doing this. So we've got that. If you're interested in that kind of space, then certainly dig in and check that out. On the website side of thing, I think 2 weeks before this was posted, we enabled two really cool features. I'm not sure if Chris showed it on the news, because we've been doing some switching and swapping, but backup and restore support is what we've announced in this blog. So you can actually configure backups for your websites, and that's going to back up everything in the root of your website deployment. And you can actually go off and restore them from storage at a later point in time if you want to. So essentially, you've got a scheduled backup feature there. The other two cool things that were announced in websites was stage publishing. So we've basically got a staged slot. So you can publish to a staged slot and then do a swap similar to what you do in cloud services on, say, a web role today. In addition to that, we've got web jobs, which was announced as well. So that allows you to run sort of scheduled background tasks, sort of similar to a worker role, but without the overhead of that. And that, again, is available within the website's portion of the Azure portal. So three really cool things that enable a lot more sort of scenarios for websites today. So .NET support, highly requested feature. We support both C# and VB.NET as your backend there. So essentially, this is, you know, the things you're familiar with today. So you can use ASP.NET Web API. We've introduced a new base class called Table Controller for implementing your CRUD operations. So .NET support, mobile services, awesome. Notification hubs integration. Essentially, every mobile service you create by default comes with a notification hub. So basically, with one simple HTTP post, you can send cross-platform push notifications to iOS, Android, Windows Phone, Windows Store apps at scale, which really takes away, you know, the difficulty that people have when trying to build out a scalable push solution. It's very easy to do push to a small number of devices, but when you start talking about tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, it's difficult to do that fast. So here's a little example of downloading the quick start for the .NET backend. You can see that you download it, you get a service piece and a client piece. We won't delve into the code. We did that with Yavor last week. So moving right along, there's the notification hub. And Additionally, you know, we've been working closely with a number of partners. Sensor Touch, for instance, is one which we onboarded several weeks ago in terms of supporting mobile services. We've got Xamarin support, and in this blog we're actually announcing support for PhoneGap. So if you're building on those platforms, mobile services is going to be an easy experience as far as integration is concerned. For HD Insight, we've added Hadoop 2.2 support. I'm not a big data guy, but if you are, you probably know what that means. There's a lot more detail on the linked blog post. Co-admin support, very useful change here. You're no longer restricted to 10 co-admins. You can have up to 200. So I know that is probably useful for some of the larger organizations or dev teams that are out there. Yeah. Monitoring, always improvements to monitoring. In this case, there's a little warning here that pops up in the portal if your services are potentially being impacted by some kind of rolling upgrade through the data centers or sort of scheduled service outage. On clicking on it, you can see the details of that particular incident. So it basically means, you know, directly within the portal, you can see this stuff rather than having to go to the appropriate tab on the WindowsAzure.com homepage. Virtual machines, VM agent, and background info extension. So this is essentially an agent that runs on VMs, sort of similar to the agent that we already have today on your sort of web and worker roles. And this enables you to do things such as, you know, configuring extensions, etc., on your VMs in a much easier fashion. There's an example here of one which is what is it? BG Info. It's giving you public and private IP, etc. So that's sort of cool. I haven't played with it much, but certainly worth looking at. All available today. Active Directory. I am not worthy of talking of this one, Vittoria, so what's going on here?
Most definitely are. Well, in that blog post, Scott mentioned some of the new features which we announced for the preview of Active Directory Premium. Active Directory Premium is a tier on top of the normal free tier of Windows Azure Active Directory, which gives you more capabilities that you typically want when you are like a big organization with bigger management needs. And specifically, I believe that at the time we announced in the preview the ability of managing groups, which was already there for administrators, but now also users can basically do self-management, which is always a great relief for the IT department so that they don't have to involve other people in the most trivial operations. Now users in the premium version can also play with that. And I believe that we also kept adding capabilities in our pre-provisioned SaaS providers. Mm-hmm. Like we are adding continually partners in there so that if you want to integrate with well-known SaaS applications, then you don't really need to go at the protocol level. We did all of that work for you.
Okay.
And then, basically, as an administrator, you can just go in there and decide, I want to use this app. And this has a long list of advantages. Like, for example, say that you want to use Twitter as a company. And say that you want to assign people to have the ability to write on the Twitter, because it's like your marketing department. But you don't really want to share credentials, because a bad idea, usually.
Right.
Also, like people leave a company, come back, people change job, and so they shouldn't do that anymore. And with this feature, you can actually assign people to, say, I want this list of people to be able to use Twitter using this account. And all those users actually access Twitter, but they are never seeing the Twitter credentials.
Right.
They just use their own.
Okay.
And so it becomes very manageable.
Yep.
And, Twitter is just the most obvious example that everybody can relate to.
Right.
But you can imagine that there, like we have Box, Salesforce, we have like big names there. And this feature is really like, I'm not an administrator, but I hear that when administrators see this thing, like their eyes start sparkling and similar.
Excellent. So a few cool things announced there. BizTalk, Edifact services, Edifact protocol support, service bus integration, and backup restore. And with that, I think we'll leave it on the news from Scott, and let's talk to someone we know a little bit better.
All right.
So what's this one?
So this one, this developer preview is something that we announced a couple of weeks ago, And that's the next release of our Active Directory Authentication Libraries.
Right.
We released the .NET version in, like basically last year.
Mm-hmm.
And now with this version 2, we are doing a lot of consolidation. Like now in a single NuGet package, you will get both of the .NET version for classic desktop or for middle tier, like when you're running a website and you want to get a token as a server.
Okay.
You can use the Visa NuGet to get the .NET assembly for ADIL. But in the same package, we also added the Windows Store version. The
right.
Windows Store version is not an assembly. It's a Windows runtime component, which allows you to use any of the languages that are supported by WinRT.
Okay.
So like, if you want to write in JavaScript, you use the same library, and simply you use JavaScript, and it works. And before, we had a preview already of this, and it was in its own package. And now instead, we are consolidating everything in that package.
Okay.
And now, not mentioned in this blog post, but we are extending the franchise of the ADIL, as we promised, to other platforms. And so if today you go on GitHub, you can actually see our work in progress for iOS and for Android.
Excellent.
And the idea is that modulo the syntactic sugar of every platform, like in Android, you'll have intents and similar, which you don't have, for example, in Windows 8.
Yep.
But apart from those differences, the idea is that if you grok the spirit, like the object model that you use with the library, then you can apply it in every platform independently.
Okay.
So the moment in which you understood how our scenario works, how you talk with Active Directory, both on-prem and in the cloud, then you can reuse that skill across the board.
Okay.
So we tried really hard not to force anybody to reinvent the wheel.
Okay, excellent. Next one.
All right. The next one is the one that I would actually like to give you a short demonstration of. And it's one that I'm really, really excited. I wanted to do this for the last 5 years, I would say.
Okay.
And finally, stars aligned, and now the team is committed. We are actually collaborating with ASP.NET guys with this.
Okay.
So.
So rather than scrolling through it, we'll see live, or would you prefer scroll?
I think that I can give you a short introduction of what this thing is, and then we can move to Visual Studio and I can give you a brief demonstration.
Sounds good.
So the idea is as follows. 8 years ago, nobody knew anything at all about claims-based identity.
Mm-hmm.
I remember doing sessions in which I had, at the time I was still in evangelism, and I'd have like my titles like claims-based identity and X.
Okay.
And nobody would show up.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
What is this thing?
There'd be one person in the room.
And then we added a rich support in .NET, first out of band with the release of WIF 1.0, and then in .NET itself when this thing migrated in there. And we added a progressively more integrated tooling in Visual Studio Experience and similar. And so fast forward to today, claims-based identity is absolutely mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you look at basically all of our cloud services, they are all enabled by claims-based identity, which is the thing that allows you to cross the boundary, reuse the identity on-prem, cross platform boundaries if you want to talk with other platforms, other products. So this thing delivered on its premises.
Right.
And not a small part of that, at least on our ecosystem, is due to our libraries, our famous Windows Identity Foundation libraries, which had all the expressive power that you needed for this, but they were designed in a pre-cloud world.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for example, they relied heavily on the web config because that was something that the administrator could change.
Right.
And again, 8 years ago, developers didn't know anything about claims-based identity.
Mm-hmm.
So our customers were mostly administrators, which had also some background in development. And so this thing was enabled to help them. And in fact, if you look at the marquee customer at the time, which was SharePoint, SharePoint was basically using Windows Identity Foundation, and it was structured so that the people that take SharePoint and deploy it, they can modify the deployment just by going on the web config or equivalent. So the library was built around that concept. And also, as a result, it was actually pretty, I'd say, heavy. As in, if you go in the web config and you look at all the config that is necessary for this thing to work, you'll see that there is quite a lot of stuff. And some of it is just like rehashing the defaults.
Right.
Like it's not really using any information. It was simply there so that the administrator could see it and mm-hmm. could decide to act upon it. But if you are a normal developer without mm-hmm. admin background, then what happens is that that stuff is like all noise. And it's also stuff that you would not be able to just type like on top of your head. And so that's why we did all that work with tooling, which feedback has been really good. Okay. Like people love it and similar. However, if you delve from like your yellow bricks path, mm-hmm. in which like you want to change something from the default, or if something goes wrong and you have to troubleshoot, you suddenly fall from a very high place. Okay. You have to go in there and you have to understand all that stuff.
Okay.
And also, all this was based on the idea that you have ASP.NET with System Web and IIS. Mm-hmm. So this thing was not exactly bolted in, like you can take these classes and use them outside. Yeah. However, it's very, very hard.
Okay.
And also, this thing is like a bit of a bully, right? To say that once it's in the pipeline, it will own the pipeline. And if you try to add something else in there, you'll discover that like we read the post body and then we don't mm-hmm. rewind it. So if you are after us, now you can find it. So there are all these considerations which are, today we outgrew them. Mm-hmm. Like now that web development is more advanced, now that we have like specific requirements, all those restraints are things that we want to get rid of.
Okay.
So we got together with the ASP.NET guys and we had a plan to do this for a long time. Like we simply waited for the moment to be right. And we worked on redesigning the top layer of our programming model. Now, all the capabilities that we already have in .NET, like SAML, JWT tokens, messages, all that stuff is all good. Okay. Like we are reusing all of that. The only thing that we are re-platforming is the top layer, as in how do you take advantage of these capabilities? And how we did that was to go in Katana, which is like the code name of all the OWIN components that live in the ASP.NET project. And we are adding middleware there, which is capable of performing all these protocols that we want to use. And in the blog post that you are showing there, we announced the very first preview, which does AWS Federation.
Okay.
However, in the nightly builds, we already have OpenID Connect support. So the same object model that you have in there, modulo small differences in terms of protocol, is already in there. And it's designed to be super easy to use in the same way in which you today use the OWIN modules for doing integration with the social providers, membership provider, and similar.
Okay.
So in fact, I would love an opportunity to
give a demo,
show you.
Show how it works. Excellent. Excellent. So don't be frightened off by all the protocols speak. I'm hoping this demo is going to be easy.
Easy. Like, did I say anything about protocols?
All right. So we'll be back in just a second.
And now, our feature presentation.
And we are back.
All right. The Hunger Games. And we are back. So what I have in here is a ASP.NET application, which I created with a Visual Studio templates. However, I purposefully chose no authentication. There is no authentication code in this app. It's just like plain vanilla.
Okay.
Now, I want to protect this application by connecting to my instance of Windows Azure Active Directory in the cloud. And I will do it with AWS Federation, but if I'd want to do it with OpenID Connect, I would just use different classes, but the object model is exactly the same.
Okay.
So, how do I do it? First, I want to take the SSL address of this app, put it in my clipboard, and then I will go in the portal. And here I have a Windows Azure portal. I am in my list of applications for my directory. And I will create a new entry. Here, these two entries are the lower one for the apps that we mentioned earlier, the ones that are pre-provisioned.
Yep.
So if you are an administrator, you'll probably go through the second one.
Okay.
Being a developer, I'm creating an application from scratch, and so I'm going for the first one. And I'm creating a web app. If I'd be using a client, I'd be going through this other way. Let me call it like Cloud Cover. All right. Here I'm asked just a couple of information, like specifically, where does my application live? Mm-hmm. It's important so that my directory knows what is the address.
Okay.
And so if somebody else tries to pretend it to be me, and sends it, try to get this token on a different address, STS will just say no.
Okay.
And here I can use an identifier. Let me call this application Nick.
Okay, thank you.
And see, you are not here. You are the very first time that I use you. And this one is just an identifier. It doesn't have to be an actual network address.
Okay.
Okay. And once I hit complete, my faithful portal creates an application for me.
Mm-hmm.
And now at this point, here I have all the information that I need for configuring my app to use this entry. Now, in the past, I would take these things and paste it directly in my tooling, and then the tooling would go ahead and generate stuff.
Okay.
And now you'll see that I can use these two information straight into the code. I don't need to actually use tooling.
Okay.
So let's go back to our Visual Studio. And now, first thing, I need to add a reference to the middleware, which will do AWS Federation. As you can see, I searched for it a number of times. It pulls down all the things that it requires, so I don't have to do it myself.
Okay.
Slowly, slowly. Okay. And then I have to provide the configuration. Like the way in which you do it with this new technology is that you create a new class in the startup. And now Owen is very peculiar in terms of naming, so you have to call it the right way. So I'll call it startup off.
Okay.
And it also adds a sub namespace just for making my life more complicated. And now here, I could type, but since I don't want to abuse your patience, I'll just use a little
snippet.
Nice.
Some magic there.
Isn't that awesome? But as you can see, that stuff that I could have just written myself. Now, let me just get rid of these squiggly lines before we do anything else. Also, I think that in VS there is a bug that when you do insert of snippets with parameters, then control dot doesn't work.
Mm,
so the first one, you have to do right click resolve.
Ah.
So if you guys step into that,
this
is a good trick for
I was wondering why you're using the mouse so much.
The mouse and only the first one, then everything else.
Okay.
Okay, so here I have my first two lines in which I get the two information that I need.
Okay.
So let me come in here, grab the URI, and put it in here. That's in protocol jargon, the realm.
Yep.
And then we want the address of the metadata. This is the document which describes to the world, to anybody that wants to call it, my instance of Windows Azure Active Directory.
Okay.
And this document contains things like the name of issuer and the keys that will be used for signing. Mm-hmm. So if I go on this document, I will automatically find out about all that information.
Okay.
Which instead, in the past, if you go into the config, the long config in Windows Azure Foundation, you find all that information spread all over the place. Instead now, if I don't have this document and I want to specify stuff, I can still do it. But at least in the easy case, I have that.
Okay, and you haven't had to do anything with the config file, which is
exactly.
A long time ago, I remember I had to start doing a lot of stuff.
I don't even know if I have a config. Of course, I do. But there is no coding there. So here, the two main parts are here. I have this app.useCookieAuthentication, which is adding to the pipeline the cookie middleware. The cookie middleware is an Owen component, which takes care of verifying, like maintaining a session. And the only thing that I'm specifying here is please, dear cookie middleware, maintain this session for AWS Federation. And I do this because I might have multiple middlewares all working at the same time, and so you want to be able to do that. The second part is I'm using my AWS Federation middleware. This is the moral equivalent of our old HTTP module, but is far more agile. It's like designed to live in the pipeline. Mm-hmm. And as you can see here, I provide only the bare essential for conducting my transaction. I have my metadata, which is the document that I mentioned. I have my realm, which is the identifier of my application, and that's it. Mm-hmm. At this point, in theory, I can just hit F5.
Okay.
And then slowly, slowly, our good friend Firefox will tell me that I'm on an untrusted connection, of course, because mm-hmm. I'm using the internal development certificate of IIS Express.
Yep.
And all in due time, as like the copper warms up in the connection between us and the network, I get bounced to my authentication line. Here, I don't like to type, so I have a form filler,
okay,
which I strongly recommend, and especially if you do demos. It is a really good form filler.
We just need this password is the only one we need.
Yeah, that's the only one.
If we're getting And okay. Once I have this stuff in, I just hit sign in, mm-hmm. get my back and forth, and now I got the token, I'm coming back to my app, and my middleware will grab this token, will tell to the session, VR session, the token is valid, please create it. And as you can see here, I didn't have to use any tooling. I could have done this also in Visual Studio 2012, and or even by hand, like anywhere else. And I was able to use WS Federation. And again, if you want to do something more advanced, it's not like before, in which you'd have to move from I use the tooling and I know nothing about what happens in code, and then suddenly I have to figure out everything. Yep. Here, everything is very straightforward. You have this idea in which you pass these options, and in the options, you have all the various other parameters that you might want to use if you need to do anything more advanced. We have these token validation parameters, which allow you to go one level deeper. Like if you want to specify exactly, like if you are not using the default, but you are manipulating a couple of things here and there, these actually empowers you to do so. In a very, like I'd say, it is a very gentle slope. Mm-hmm. Like it's not that you start from crazy easy to pretty complicated. Here, like it will be only as complicated as the scenario that you wanted to implement is.
Okay.
One interesting benefit of that is not just because it makes it easier, but as a developer now I don't have to figure out all the custom protocol plumbing, and that should make things safer, right? Because the risk of actually missing something and opening some gates that I shouldn't, right?
I agree, I agree. The less security code the developer has to write, and the more they can rely on something which has been tested, reviewed, and verified, absolutely. That's a big advantage, right. No doubt about it.
Excellent. So two lines of code, really.
Like it's this line and this other line. Mm-hmm. And as you can see, I'm like very, very excited about this because I knew it was possible, and now finally people can get it. And I have to acknowledge that the ASP.NET team and our own development team did really a good job. Because they really worked hard to expose all the existing capabilities in this simple model. Mm-hmm. And we've actually, enforcing big changes below. So I think that the Voss guys did a fantastic job. So
excellent.
I take this opportunity to
take your hat off.
Take my hat off. Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Okay. That's it?
Yeah, it's kind of it. I can keep blabbering, but I think that you guys want to go to lunch.
So the blog post which you we had up earlier.
Yep.
This specific code snippet is available within that?
I didn't publish the snippet, but because I created it this morning, actually, so that I don't bore you while typing. But that's actually an excellent idea. Yeah. I'll publish it so that people can just install it on their boxes.
Excellent.
Great.
Well, some certainly very powerful stuff. I'm glad to see that it's so simple. Yep. It's something that I can actually go and try out this time without knowing much about how things work under the hood.
You are excellent also with your formula generation, but I take it as a compliment, so thank you.
So thanks very much, Vittorio. Always a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank
if people want to ask questions or reach out to you, do you have a Twitter handle you can
pop
up?
Absolutely. I am Vibronet, which I'm sure that in American you'll pronounce it in a different way.
Okay.
And one thing, actually, thanks for mentioning this. One thing that I would encourage you guys, if you are interested in this in this topic is to follow the Azure Active Directory team blog, which is like the official source for news, guidance, and similar. Like if you come on my blog, you'll find like experiments and technical stuff. And usually things that I put a disclaimer saying, that's my personal blog, so if something explodes, I'm not responsible. Or like those are my personal opinion and similar. So if you wanted to have the official view of a company, if you want to have timely news, I strongly recommend that you follow that blog. It's like the best source of information that you can use. And it's on TechNet. Okay. And I don't remember the exact URL, but I'm sure that we can add it.
Okay, yep, we can find it. It'll be at the bottom of the show notes.
The Active Directory team blog. That's the blog to follow.
Right. Excellent. Great. Well, okay, so questions and feedback, please do send them back, as Vittorio just said. Follow the show. We're on Facebook. We've got a few followers there.
All right.
We've got Twitter down there, links, etc. Thanks for watching. A little bit out of practice on my behalf. See you later.
Yep.